forth between the Jews and the Christians in the first century. The initial Christian proclamation was, "Jesus is risen." The Jews responded, "The disciples stole his body." To this, Christians said, "Ah, but the guards at the tomb would have prevented such a theft." The Jews responded, "Oh, but the guards at the tomb fell asleep." To that, the Christians replied, "No, the Jews bribed the guards to say they fell asleep." Now, if there had not been any guards, the exchange would have gone like this. In response to the claim Jesus had risen, the Jews would say, "No, the disciples stole his body." Christians would reply, "But the guards would have prevented the theft." Then the Jewish response would have been, "What guards? You're crazy. There were no guards." Yet history tells us that's not what the Jews said. This suggests that guards really were historical and that the Jews knew it, which is why they had to invent the absurd story about the guards having been asleep while the disciples took the body. Again, a nagging question prompted me to jump in. "There seems to be another problem here," I said, pausing as I tried to formulate my objection as succinctly as I could. "Why would the Jewish authorities have placed guards at the tomb in the first place? If they were anticipating a resurrection, or the disciples faking one, this would mean they had a better understanding of Jesus' predictions about his resurrection than the disciples did. After all, the disciples were surprised by the whole thing." "You've hit on something there," Craig conceded. "However, maybe they placed the guards there to prevent any sort of tomb robbery or other disturbances from happening during Passover. We don't know. That's a good argument. I grant its full force, but I don't think it's insuperable." "Yes, but it does raise some questions concerning the guard story. Plus, another objection came to mind. Matthew says the Roman guards reported to the Jewish authorities," I said. "But doesn't that seem unlikely, since they were responsible to Pilate?" A slight smile came to Craig's face. "If you look carefully," he said, "Matthew doesn't say the guards are Romans. When the Jews go to Pilate and ask for a guard, Pilate says, 'You have a guard.' Now, does that mean, 'All right, here's a detachment of Roman soldiers?' Or does he mean, 'You've got your own temple guards, use them?'" Scholars have debated whether or not it was a Jewish guard. I was initially inclined, for the reasons you mentioned, to think that the guard was Jewish. I've rethought that, however, because the word Matthew uses to refer to the guards is often used with respect to Roman soldiers rather than just temple officers. And remember, John tells us it was a Roman centurion who led Roman soldiers to arrest Jesus under the direction of Jewish leadership. So there is precedent for Roman guards reporting to Jewish religious leaders. It seems plausible that they also could be involved in the guarding of the tomb. Weighing the evidence, I felt persuaded that guards had been present, but I decided to drop this line of questioning since Craig doesn't rely on the guard story anyway. Meanwhile, I was anxious to confront Craig with what seems to be the most persuasive argument against the idea that Jesus' tomb was vacant on Easter morning. Through the years, critics of Christianity have attacked the empty tomb story by pointing out apparent discrepancies among the gospel accounts. For example, skeptic Charles Templeton said, "The four descriptions of events differ so markedly at so many points that with all the goodwill in the world, they cannot be reconciled." Taken at face value, this objection seems to penetrate to the heart of the reliability of the empty tomb narrative. Consider this summary by Dr. Michael Martin of Boston University, which I read to Craig that morning. "In Matthew, when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary arrive toward dawn at the tomb, there is a rock in front of it. There is a violent earthquake, and an angel descends and rolls back the stone. In Mark, the women arrive at the tomb at sunrise, and the stone had been rolled back. In Luke..."